We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome to a special episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast without Robbie Hummel, because I'm sure he's golfing somewhere. I don't know where, probably not well. But we got a special edition for you today. We got the FAU duo of John L. Davis and Elijah Martin, who both put their name in for the draft, and they'll talk a little bit about that, as well as the decision to stick with FAU, even with all the high majors poking around. We've got a live commitment from Quincy Oliveri, a Rice transfer, and where he'll go. And then we've got Jesse Edwards, one of the best players in the portal, Syracuse transfer, and his decision to pick West Virginia over Kansas and Gonzaga. So stick with us through the offseason. Maybe we'll get Hummel on. Maybe we won't. I heard he's still in contract negotiations. So we'll see how that goes with Hummel. He's asking for huge, huge money. I'm not sure we can afford it. But you know what? I'm not sure how much we miss him either. So again, make sure you follow us through the offseason. Thanks for joining us. All right. Welcome to a special edition. Field of 68, off-season edition, and we started off with a bang, none other than FAU duo, Elijah Martin, John L. Davis, joining us today. And first of all, congratulations, guys, on a hell of a season, an absolutely incredible season. And it was cool to watch the ride, because I spent a day with you guys January 31st. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, but went over to that hotel, and it was like the greatest lunch ever for you guys, because really you hadn't had any of that yet. And you went to one of the big boosters in Boca, you know, brought you guys over for a lunch. You guys looked at that spread and you were like, wow, like this is big time. We've arrived. Little did you know where you would be, you know, 6 weeks later in Houston playing, you know, at the Final Four. First, John L., what was the whole experience like for you?
The experience, like, for me, was just, like, a dream. Me living my dream that I wanted to play, like, when I was young, just having fun with people I came in with.
Elijah, like, could you ever have imagined that ride? I mean, I know you say, like, hey, you're playing for, obviously, you know, a national title, but I think you guys were playing before the season to get in the NCAA tournament and then kind of just taking it as it came. What was it like? What was the coolest moment, I guess, of the Final Four or of that ride?
I could say, like, the coolest moment was obviously just running out that tunnel, I think. Just your fans cheering you on and the opposing crowd booing you. Just realizing, like, stepping onto that stage, like, you only four teams make it here, you know? And to be one of those four, it was an amazing experience.
All right, the nerves. I know you guys acted cool through all that, but there had to be some nerves. All right, like, John, I'll start. Like, when were the nerves?
The nerves is, I think as soon as we got on the bus to take off, I'm like, I'm a little shaking. But then when we got to the gym, I looked at the gym, I'm like, she's just like, this normal, but it's not normal as we think right now. But I'm like, I could play in here for real.
Yeah, that arena did not look like your home gym. Let's be honest.
Nah. Then once once we had the first practice with the fans and all, I'm like, hey, it's all right. I ain't got nothing to be nervous about. Just go out there and play my game.
Elijah, what, you know, in terms of the coolest thing to happen to you since? Because, again, I walked around with you guys a little bit in Boca, and nobody knew who the hell you were. Let's face it, in January 31st, nobody knew you guys. And now everybody knows you guys. Give me a story of something crazy that's happened to you since.
Something crazy.
A text message maybe from somebody famous? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple celebrities like hit me up, like Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
I got on the phone with Donovan Mitchell.
That's cool.
I think that's about it. But, like, just around the community, just everywhere you go, you know, it's, people want to take a picture. And not knocking that, but just showing, like, night and day of, like, what March Madness can do for you as an athlete, you know. Just walking around taking pictures, like, being known in the community.
Yeah.
Probably been the biggest surprise, you know.
Janelle, we were talking before we jumped on here. You guys didn't have agents before the season started. You didn't need agents before the season started, right? There was no NIL for you guys. And then when did it become, hey, I need to get an agent? Or maybe agents were knocking down your door at a certain point in the season.
When we won a conference tournament, just I had a couple people reach out to me. I wasn't trying to be focused on it during the season, but I was just locked in trying to just continue to play.
Elijah, what do you? I mean, I assume same thing with you. I mean, you got an agent, and you're trying to have somebody else manage some of the NIL stuff coming in.
Yeah, so I had got an NIL agent the summer going into this year. But, like, as the season kept going and, like, how we kept going up, of course, deals kept approaching me and, like, trying to work with me and stuff like that. But you just had to be selective on what deal you could do at that time, you know, and was it worth the look you was going to be perceived as, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt. So what impressed me the most, I think, about you guys, couple things. I mean, throughout, it was fun hanging with you guys on the 31st when you guys were watching that. What is he, a mentalist? Mentalist? Is that what he was?
Oh, yeah. I think it was a magic man. We could say a magic man.
Well, he fooled the shit out of you guys. I could see from my angle, I could see what he was doing. You guys could
locked in on him.
What's that?
I was locked in on him. I'm trying to see like what he was doing, but
you guys had no idea. Like he completely fooled you guys.
Bro.
What angle you had?
I'm not gonna tell you. I'm not telling you what he did. I'm not giving away his secret. But I saw
what angle you have? The side angle?
Yeah. I had the side angle. Yeah, I had almost behind. I had the side almost kind of behind. So I could see when he was coming up and he was kind of hitting a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So one of the coolest things, you know, to me was in defeat, you see a lot about people. And the way you guys handled yourselves after losing, the way you lost, I mean, it was obviously one of the most dramatic losses in Final Four history. You lose that game, a lot of guys don't handle it the way you guys did. What was going through your head, you know, when you guys were, you know, obviously trying to process how you lost and how your season was over?
Jeez, I really don't know. I was just like, just get back in the lab, watch film, see what we made mistakes at, and just when we get there the next time, just feed off their mistakes.
When you went up to the podium, Elijah, what are you thinking? Because, again, you guys handled yourselves with such class, you know, talking about getting better, saying all the right things. I'm assuming a lot's going through your head at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, walking up to the podium, I was just blessed to be there, you know, a lot of people counted us out. And to prove everybody wrong, make it to the Final Four, just being humble and just thanking God for what he did for us in that run. You know, also just trying to keep it professional, keep it positive, keep it motivational, because a lot of people looked up to us. You know, we the underdogs, so, like, everybody out there feel like they could do the same thing as us because we did it, you know.
Yeah, guys seem very appreciative of everything that you had accomplished. You know, at that point, it almost felt like the realization set in of what you had done. Not that you lost, but what you had accomplished. And I thought that was one of the coolest things. And then, you know, I know you had said it kind of through the run a little bit at the Final Four that you were coming back no matter what. And I hate personally when people ask you guys right after a loss, are you coming back? What are you doing? Are you coming back? It's like, no, there's so much emotion going through your head. Give it a couple days. Well, you guys gave it a couple days. I think you gave it almost a week. And you announced, we're testing the waters. We're going to go through the draft process. But we're coming back. We're not putting our name in the portal. We're coming back to FAU. Go through with me, guys. Janelle, you can start. Just kind of what the thought process was there. Because, again, Dusty alluded to it. I know, like, everybody's hitting up your guys. They're not hitting you directly, the coaches from other schools, but they're hitting whoever your AU coach was, whoever your high school coach was. You know they're hitting those guys and saying, hey, if he's interested, we're here for him.
Yeah, to me talking to my coaches and my family, just going through the see what my next step would be, I was like, I might as well test the water, see where I'm at, just see, like, why I'm just at in the draft process and stuff. Just, if I'm not there, I'm just come back and be better for my team.
Elijah, what was it like for you, the loyalty factor playing into you not going the high major route?
Just thinking back on the high school days, I didn't really have no high major offers until now and, like, last year and stuff like that. So thinking back, like, Coach May was the guy to, like, take a chance on me. Cause he didn't know that I could play at this. I mean, it wasn't guaranteed that I could play at this level, you know, and at this standard or whatever. And just to show the Lord the same loyalty that he showed to me and to show it back to him, you know. Just can't even put it in words, you know. It's just how I was raised, you know.
Yeah, and he's such a good dude anyway. I mean, you could see it through the whole run. He doesn't get rattled, does he? Like, give me when you guys have seen him rattled the most, Dusty May, is when, Janelle?
In practice.
When he gets on you.
Yeah, when he gets on us, he's getting on us a lot. Then that's when he can be the motor rattled. But he always say, that's why we here practicing for, just for the moments.
Yeah.
You got a good story, Elijah? Like, anything really good about Dusty kind of that we don't see?
Yeah, one time we were just beating ourselves, and he had brought shotguns and shot his feet. Like,
that's pretty good.
It was, yeah, that time. I remember that time for real.
Last question for both of you. You bring back almost everything other than Forrest. He's the one guy that we know is leaving. I think he's out of eligibility, I think. I don't know. Who knows how many years guys have left anymore? He probably has another year. But I think he's done. You return everything else at this point. I mean, I assume I got you preseason, I think, number 3, 4, whatever it is. Maybe that's disrespectful. I don't know. How do you guys feel going into next season now? Is it national title? I mean, I guess that's the way you got to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we aiming for. The people that ain't used to get in came in, put in work just right after the season. That's how I know we're going to make a bigger jump than we did this year.
Yeah, facts. I mean, the next day we had got knocked out the tournament, we was in the gym playing open gym.
I love that. Love it.
Stuff like that. And then just knowing, like, we more motivated than ever. You know, we're not satisfied. First and foremost, and towards like the rankings and stuff, we're not really worried about that. We hope we get disrespected so we can go out and play like dogs and chaotic again. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what fueled us more down the line anyway, you know?
No, I think you'll get respect this time. I think you'll get respect. You earned it. You deserved it. Again, it was fun to watch the ride. And I'll be back in Boca again. I'll make another trip next year. Don't you worry.
You got to come before the win streak.
Oh, I will. I'll be out there early. I'll be out there early and maybe multiple times. I mean, the weather's good. Why not, right? I got to get out there. So
you could be on the beach.
Exactly. No question. As long as I get that good lunch again at the hotel, I'll be there.
Hopefully you can.
All right. Listen, guys, Jonelle, Elijah, really appreciate you joining me. Good luck with the draft process. Congrats on a hell of a season. And we'll see you soon. All right, now we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Rice transfer Quincy Oliveri, who's going to make his commitment decision next.
Tell you guys about our sponsor for today's episode, Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 a few weeks back. When we get in the middle of college hoop season, it can be hard for me to eat and drink as healthy as I probably should be, especially in late February and March when the schedule gets really busy. But I found that I've felt better as I've made AG1 a part of my daily routine. I take AG1 in the afternoons, after the coffee is worn off and once the itis post-launch has kind of set in. And what I've found, my energy levels are up. It's improved my digestion. And as a result, I'm not only more efficient and productive in the most important time of the year for me and for the field of 68, but I'm working out more consistently. I just feel better. AG1 is so much more than just a greens powder. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. Covering my nutritional basis for the day literally could not be easier, which is why I trust Athletic Greens. I just mix one small scoop of the AG1 formula with water, and I drink it every single afternoon. Done. Just like that. I also like that it only costs $3 a day. The price is right. If a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is the answer. They are giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Free! Just go to athleticgreens.com/field68. That's athleticgreens.com/field68. The link is in the description below. Check it out. Support the field of 68 and feel better about yourself.
All right. Jeff Goodman here back with my daughter, Talia Goodman. And we are breaking the commitment of one Rice star, Quincy Oliveri, who I love the smile, man, because you had it the whole time in Houston, where I got to know you and Talia got to know you because you guys were working together. I don't know who was working. I think Talia was working a little harder than you were there, Quincy.
I definitely was.
I plead the fifth. I got my hours done.
There were a few times you were trying to sneak on that court. We both know it.
Try to get a few shots up on that court if you could.
Just visualize it.
Yeah, you should. You should. Listen, for people that haven't seen you, and obviously – I know your game, but for people who haven't seen you yet, describe your game, Quincy, to people.
I'm going to use what a lot of other people say, and I'm going to just say microwave score, but I like to pride myself better than that. You know, I'm an energy guy. I bring a lot of energy on the offensive end, defensive end, and in timeouts, and I'm a fun guy. I'm a smiling guy, so right or wrong, I'm going to still be smiling, whether I call the turnover, I hit a three, I'm going to always be smiling, but offensive end, microwave score, and then I'm an energetic guy on the court.
Yeah, 6'3 guard, third in conference USA in scoring, the average almost 19 a game, 6 boards a game. I'm not going to get on you too much, but you shot 41 from three as a sophomore, down to 36 last season. We're not going to ask you to explain that now, but we know you can score the ball, and we know you can score from all three levels. That's the biggest thing. All right, Todd, you're up.
So the portal's been getting crazier and crazier every year. I feel like it's really at its peak right now. Over 1,400 entries right now. What's this experience been like for you? How has it been like kind of dealing with the portal?
It's been very stressful, very good days, and then very tiring days. There were early on, it was a great feeling to see everyone who was interested in me, what they had to say about me as a player and as a person. But as the dog day started coming on, where it was just kind of like, okay, now I really got to make a decision. You got to field out some calls and make some mature decisions. It kind of got a little stressful on me. And it got to a point where I had to like even ask my mom and some other people to kind of like leave me alone. I feel like everything was too much at one time, but overall it was a great experience. You know, I never got recruited like this out of high school, so it was great to experience it. But I will definitely leave it with a positive adjective to describe it than a negative.
Yeah. So what was the biggest difference between, you know, getting recruited out of high school and deciding to go to Rice and all that, and then coming into this and maybe getting a lot more attention than you have before?
The biggest difference was my phone. I had to actually turn my phone off and sometimes beg people to stop talking to me. Coming out of high school, I was begging people to talk to me. Yeah. And putting out film of my games with my dad and trying to do the best I could to get my name out. Now it was like, okay, mom, like I'm sending them your number, or Coach Perry, I'm sending them your number, because, you know, I've been on the phone with these coaches and I just kind of need to do some schoolwork. I the first weekend I went in the portal, I didn't do any schoolwork. I was on the phone from sunup to sundown.
I know these last few days you've been going on Instagram Live a little bit and the fans have been talking to you. I've been on the lives. I've seen it. The Auburn fans especially, but I've seen some of the other fan bases hop on there too. What's that been like, just hearing from the fans and hearing how much, you know, they want you going to their school?
It's fun. You know, I'm big on fan interaction because I like to make it known that I'm not someone who I think I'm better than other people. So I like to show people that I'm human. I like to interact with you outside of basketball, play the game, ask them questions, ask them about their life, and kind of get to know them on a personal level rather than just, oh, this is Quincy Oliveri, a basketball player. He's this, he's that. Like, no, I'm a regular person just like you. And I like to have fun and establish a connection. So I think that's the biggest thing. And that's what makes it so fun.
Hey, Talia said you wouldn't stop asking questions to everybody that was working the Final Four, helping out. So I think that's cool, though. You enjoyed that, which said to me a lot about who you are. And I talked to Scott Perry about you, and he couldn't stop raving about you as a person. I have one more question about the process and the NIL component to it. I've heard from a lot of different coaches. They say to me, like, you know, I get on with all these kids, and the first question they ask is NIL. How do you try to balance NIL and picking the right school for you and not worrying too much about the money aspect of it?
Oh, well, I think that's a great question. And I made it apparent early to Bruce Pearl, Anthony Rutta. I could go on about all the coaches that this isn't a money grab for me, because I know if I make the right decision, whatever money I sacrifice now, I'll make 10 times and the place I'm really trying to go, because this is a business decision where I'm trying to make this decision so I can ultimately be in the NBA or play and make the most money I can. And so a lot of coaches, even Bruce Pearl, told me face to face, he said, you know, that's refreshing to hear, Quincy, because a lot of these kids just want to make the most money. They want to go to the place that has the most money to offer them, but then they get stuck and they're not happy. And I know that I'm not here to break the news with the first $8 million deal or something, but I'm at a school where I'm not playing or I'm not happy. If I'm happy and the fit is right, I'll make the money that I need to when it's right.
All right, Tal, you can ask the biggest question of the day.
It's time, Quincy. Are you ready? All right. Where are you going?
Next year, I'll be going to play with Sean Miller and the Xavier Musketeers. I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'll be having a lot of fun with my new teammates, especially Desmond Claude, Damian McKnight, Jerome Hunters. Those are some of the people that I've got to know well already, and I'm going to be in Cincinnati in the Big East.
Congrats, man. Congrats. Why Xavier? What was the biggest reason? I know you just got back from a visit there this past weekend. What is it you love about Xavier?
The program. I mean, I could rave about how they pitched to me and how they persuaded me just on a player level, but Sean Miller and his staff, they're a great group of guys. The players that they have are a great group of guys. I mean, me and Jerome hit it off rip at dinner Friday, and then me and Desmond all Saturday. It was almost as if I'd known them for 3 years, you know, and it's just a great environment. The basketball and how much they care about basketball at Xavier is so it's amazing to see the stages that they play on, Madison Square Garden, the going to UConn, and
you're going to be in the best league. Hey, you're going to be in the best league in America next year. I know a lot of people, Big 12, and it's been great. But Big East next year, is going to be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I just don't know if you're going to be able to handle the cold weather.
That's what I've been telling everybody. You know, I'm from Atlanta, and I've lived in Houston these past 4 years. When I see snow, school is canceled. Everything is canceled. It's going to be different having to actually go do something in the snow. But, you know, I know them Nike coats will keep me nice and warm.
You mentioned the stages that they play on at Xavier. When we were at the Final Four, we were talking a little bit, and you said you wanted to be there next year. You didn't want to be working it. You wanted to be on that court. How important was that in kind of making your decision, and how much do you feel like that played into where you ended up?
It was very important. You know, Sean Miller's a great coach, and he has an amazing track record. You know, and the one thing they pitched to me is they've always been close. You know, Elite Eight, Sweet 16s. They just need one key piece to get over that hump so they can say Final Four, won the Elite Eight, and make it to that point. And to know that they've had consistent success in the tournament, because to me, obviously, since I haven't been there, consistent success is just getting out the first weekend. And they've gotten out of there. Sean Miller, at least, has gotten out of that weekend multiple times. And he is just as hungry as I am to go to the Final Four and to play for a coach that not only can develop me as a player, but lead a team that deep in the tournament is something that I'm excited to do.
You know, Sean has mellowed a little bit because he was on Field of 68 when he was out for a year. So I take credit for the fact that you're getting a little bit of a mellow Sean Miller. All right. A few years ago, he was a little more high strung. So I think he's chilled a little bit. You do know Davion McKnight well, because you guys played against each other in Conference USA. Talk to me a little bit about how you see yourself fitting in at Xavier, playing alongside Davion.
Playing at Xavier, I mean, off-rip style of play. They play very, very fast. And just a minor note, they had success with another Conference USA transfer last year, Sule Boom. You know, so that was one thing they pitched to me is, you know Sule very well. Look at what he did. And just be honest, Q, like when you played him, did you see him being able to do the things that he did here? And look at this and look at that. And it's just like, oh, like they play fast. When they get off the glass, everyone's going. They're advancing it. It's not a lot of dribbles in transition unless it's like, you know, they're slowing it down. But the style of play is, it's like I was looking at it. It was just like, yeah. And then they would put my clips along with that. And it was like, man, that's literally identical, just different court. Playing with Davion will be very fun, though. I've known Davion for 3 years. He came in my sophomore year. And he's an amazing point guard. I tell a lot of people he can really pass the ball. I remember when he first came in the league, my coach, Coach Green, he did a scout for Western, and he said his assist-to-turnover ratio is very, very good, and he can pass the ball well, but don't underestimate him because he can also get to the paint. He can score. And Davion had a heck of a freshman year, and then when they won with Charles Bassey, you know, so he's a winner also, and he'll bring that winning aspect to the team. But playing with Davion, it'll be very fun because I played against him and I know what he's capable of.
No doubt. All right. Well, listen, congrats, man. Congrats. It was great getting a chance to meet you and hang out a little bit in Houston. And the good Tal's only like a couple hours away, so she can drive and see you from Bloomington, Indiana next year. I'll be out there as well. I'll make sure I'm out there and watch you play in person. But again, congrats. Xavier's getting a hell of a player and an even better kid. So, really happy for you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate this opportunity. Honestly, me and Tyler are good friends, and I didn't even think about doing this, but it you know, it's just, I really appreciate it, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity.
No, this was the perfect way to do it. The perfect way to do it. And again, congrats, and we'll talk soon. All right. We're going to go to a break now, and we will come back with Syracuse transfer Jesse Edwards, who will break down why he chose West Virginia earlier today and how much NIL was a factor for him.
Tell you guys about our sponsor for today's episode, Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 a few weeks back. When we get in the middle of college hoop season, it can be hard for me to eat and drink as healthy as I probably should be, especially in late February and March when the schedule gets really busy. But I found that I've felt better as I've made AG1 a part of my daily routine. I take AG1 in the afternoons after the coffee is worn off and once the itis post-launch is kind of set in. And what I found, my energy levels are up. It's improved my digestion. And as a result, I'm not only more efficient and productive in the most important time of the year for me and for the Field of 68, but I'm working out more consistently. I just feel better. AG1 is so much more than just a greens powder. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. Covering my nutritional basis for the day literally could not be easier, which is why I trust Athletic Greens. I just mix one small scoop of the AG1 formula with water, and I drink it every single afternoon. Done. Just like that. I also like that it only costs $3 a day. The price is right. If a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is the answer. They are giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Free! Just go to athleticgreens.com/field68. That's athleticgreens.com/field68. The link is in the description below. Check it out. Support the Field of 68 and feel better about yourself.
All right, welcome back. Field of 68 special edition. Great show so far. A couple studs from FAU that decide to go back to school, even though a bunch of high majors have been poking around. John L. Davis and Elijah Martin. And obviously, there's going to be huge things expected of them next season because they bring back their entire team. Then, obviously, we have a commitment, Quincy Oliveri, to Xavier. He had interest from plenty of other high major schools. Took a visit to Cincinnati this past weekend, and it makes the decision to go to Xavier, which I think is a really good choice for him because, again, there's playing time. You know, they lose one of the best backcourts in America in Sule Boom. And Kobe Jones, and Sean Miller had success with Boom coming from the same Conference USA League. Boom was one of the best transfers in the entire country, can get his shot off. Same thing with Quincy, not as probably not quite as small and quick as Sule, but bigger, stronger, can score from all three levels. And again, he'll pair with Davion McKnight. Dez Claude, who will be a sophomore next season, and I think that'll be a really good perimeter trio. And now the question will be what's up front with the Musketeers to go along with that perimeter trio. While we're waiting, hopefully for Jesse Edwards here, who will be coming on here in a second, we'll talk about some of the other big guys that are on the board. And while we talk about Jesse Edwards going to West Virginia, he follows another big commitment for Bob Huggins and Kirk Creasa. So I think we've got Jesse Edwards coming on right now. There he is, connecting. And Jesse, how you doing, man? Congrats.
Hey, guys. Got me? Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. I know you're fresh back from Morgantown. You just got back home. Congratulations. Yes, you join, as I was saying, Kirk Creasa, in terms of big-time transfers that are going to play for Huggy Bear in Morgantown.
Right.
What was it? What was it about? Because you had a bunch of big-time schools all over you. What was it about West Virginia that you decided that was the right place for you to finish your career?
West Virginia, before the visit, like you said, I had a bunch of great offers. Kansas Gonzaga was in my top three together with West Virginia. All of them great programs, but I was planning to see more. But, you know, when I was there, I just fell in love with everything West Virginia. You know, they started out, I met the team, met the guys. They took me around afterwards, all of the coaches. Facilities, incredible. The city, the people are, from what I've met so far, so amazing people. Super welcoming, you know, friendly. Everybody's just saying hi or just checking in on how you're doing. So it was just an overall like great experience, and I was like, you know, why wait when I already got this on the table?
How much did NIL play a factor in you coming back for a final year anyway? Because you played 4 years, you didn't play a ton your first two, and then made a big jump your junior, and then this past season, you know, you hail from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam. Yep. How much of NIL, if there hadn't been NIL, would you have just said at this point, hey, I'm going to go pro?
Good chance. Definitely change things, you know, for everybody, I guess, in college. You know, there's first round picks coming back to college. And it's probably like NIL is a huge factor for that, for sure. So, yeah, it definitely like made it an easier consideration because, you know, college is a great place to learn. A great place to develop, but when NIL also gets a chance to, you know, earn some on top of that. So definitely played a role in just making an easier decision.
Was Was West Virginia your only, that was your only visit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So was that tough to make the decision after one visit, or because you're older, you've kind of gone through this process already coming out of high school, did it make it a little easier to say, hey, you know what? I've seen it. I'm good. I don't need to go to Kansas or Gonzaga.
Yeah, like it definitely, you know, I'm like you said, you know, I've been around, I've been playing for 4 years, been in college, seen a lot of campuses, played a lot of away games. And you kind of get a feel for what it's like, you know, what's the type of place that you fit in? What's the type of place that you would, you know, like living or like playing in? So I'm definitely already like a little bit further in that. But on top of that, like I said, you know, it's easy to fall in love with, I guess, when you live there. And it translated really easily when I was there. So I just didn't feel the need to, you know, look any further, really. It was just a lot of fun. Great time.
So you played 4 years for Boeheim, which I think prepares you for anything. But I'm not sure if it prepares you for hugs. Like these are two iconic coaches that are very different. But you know what I'll say? The one thing they have in common, there's no bullshit with either of them. There's zero bullshit. They're going to tell you exactly how they feel. And to me, I guess, going through the 4 years with Boeheim, where he was tough on you early.
Yeah.
He was tough on you late. For sure. You're prepared for anything, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot from Coach Bam over the years, for sure. You know, 4 years with a legendary coach like that, you know, you see the good times, see the bad times, you know, you see how he reacts to that, you see what you can do to learn from that. So it's just been a great learning experience. You know, the assistant coaches too, Coach Red and Griff and GMAC, you know, you have a bunch of great players who played at Syracuse who will teach you, you know, the ropes, and they really guide me through that. And with hugs, you know, what I've seen so far is just the you know, he's obviously a different coach. You know, like you said, I'm used to a lot of stuff, but you know, I might just learn a lot, a bunch more when I go to West Virginia. I know that for sure. And the assistants, everybody I've met so far, you see, there's like a culture of you know, basketball, just all around, you know. Coach Hugs told me how he grew up, you know. His dad was a great coach, so he just grew up with the game, and you see that, you feel that around the program. It's just a lot of fun, you know. Everybody's there to play, everybody's there to win. So yeah,
how did he tell you he's going to try to use you any different than you have been utilized at Syracuse?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm just trying to build up what I've built the last couple of years, you know, so try to take my game that I've developed to a new level. That's what I'm going to try to bring to the program, you know, keep doing what I'm doing, but also, you know, add somewhat of a shot, you know, improve the pick and roll defense. I haven't really had a lot of chances to do that yet. So it's a bunch of new stuff I want to just try out and work on as hard as I can. And obviously, ACC is a physical league. Big 12 is just as physical, if not a little bit more. So probably going to be spending some time in the gym with with the guys. So, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I want to improve for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's good. Like different system, obviously, different arenas. You know, you're probably a little bored going in the same arenas over and over and over over the last 4 years. So now you get to go to Kansas, get to go to some of those other iconic arenas. And I'll tell you what, playing in the Big 12 is no joke, because those fans, like some of the places in the ACC are unbelievable, as you know. Yeah. You know, obviously going to Duke is Duke, right? There's nothing like Duke and Kansas, I think, are the 1A and 1B. But, you know, some of the bottom ones in the ACC aren't nearly as – like, there's no bad ones in the Big 12. There's no bad
– right, yeah. See what you
everything's
mean. See
really what you mean, good. Sure. So I think you'll notice the difference there. I know I asked you whether you would have been back in college if NIL didn't exist. How much did it – I saw a quote from you earlier a little bit that – it wasn't the ultimate factor in you choosing West Virginia, But it did matter a little bit. I mean, in terms of, again, I've heard West Virginia's NIL package is pretty strong. And Syracuse's, mm-hmm. you alluded to the fact that it's not great yet right now.
Yeah. I mean, I might have misphrased it a little bit. You know, they've done a great job already, you know. And like you said, the Big 12 might just be at a great point right now. And so at that point, you know, with NIL, they are you know, just a bit maybe bigger. So that definitely helps, you know, like I said. But Q's also definitely had, you know, their side of it. And like I said, you know, it was just the stuff around it really that made it for me. Just a new, you know, a new change of scenery, because 4 years has been great. Like, honestly, I've had an amazing time here. The fans here are great. The program's great. But I just felt like it was time for me, you know, to move on, give myself a new environment to challenge myself in. And that's what I definitely feel I found in WV. And, you know, I haven't been there long enough yet to vouch for everything, but everything I've seen so far has been just amazing, and seems like a new level to challenge myself at, against new opponents, new coaches, new players. So it's a lot of fun.
You know what's going to be the most entertaining thing for you to see is going to be the interactions between Hugs and Kirk Risa. Two of my favorite people. But I'm telling you, you're gonna get a front row seat to some very entertaining conversations that you are not going to be able to repeat the words to.
No. I'm pretty sure of that. But no, yeah, I definitely, you know, think about they're both obviously Hugs, you know, is a everybody knows this character, but Kerr also, you know, he's a fun guy, and they'll probably get into it a lot. But yeah, I can't wait.
They'll have fun. All right, listen, Jesse Edwards, congrats. Averaged a double. This is my favorite stat, Jesse. As a freshman, you averaged 2.4 points and played 7 minutes a game. And gradually you got to a point where this past year, averaging a double-double, 14.5 points, over 10 rebounds, almost 3 blocks a game. And it just shows, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. You got to work for it, and you got to be patient. And I think you were and it really has paid off. And again, congrats on the decision. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see you in Morgantown this year. You, Kerr, Hugs, and I think you guys should have a pretty good team. So thanks for joining us, Field of 68. Congrats again. Thanks to everybody for joining us on this edition, special edition, Field of 68 special offseason. And we'll have more. We'll have plenty of transfer portal updates this offseason, so check back with us.